Hey, hello, everybody. Guess who? Guess what? It's Bill Bauman. Happy Thursday. Happy second Thursday of February. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Hello. It is wonderful, wonderful that we are all together. I welcome you into my heart. I welcome my heart into your heart. And we are gathered together to have an amazing, remarkable time. You know, I love these times. I find them one of my favorite moments or hours in the whole month. I think because, and there's a little hint about what the talk is going to be about here, because, and I've said this to a couple of mentoring groups lately, that I feel so blessed that some of the world's absolutely greatest people, some of the world's most special, beautiful, obviously clear, magnificent creatures, beings, presences, persons, happen to fill my space and fill this space every month. So please know that you are one of those, and that we are gathered to here together with all of us for just an amazing sacred hour, an hour of blessings, an hour of insight, an hour of initiation, of empowerment, of awakening, of healing, of just being blessed and blessed and blessed and blessed, just by being together with words in the background, but with grace and love and power and wonder just filling all of us. And in that spirit, hey, I have two things to say. One, happy Valentine's Day, which happens to be tomorrow. No, I'm sorry, 2 days from now on Saturday. And by happy Valentine's Day, I think I mean happy love day, happy romance day. Whether you're celebrating that with another person with whom you have a deep bonded love affair, whether you're celebrating that with friends that mean so much to you, whether you're celebrating that with yourself, with whom you have an amazing, amazing, beautiful, personal, intimate, bonded relationship, whether it's your romance with life, no matter what it is, this is romance time. So let's just let the romance that's in us, the love juice that flows through our veins, just be present here to love all of us, and picture, if you will, that love going out from you, and picture yourself receiving that from everybody else. Wow, that is so cool. Hey, the other thing I want to announce is, in a happy February way, as of, I think it's February 19th, it's Happy Lunar New Year, or I think what we call Chinese New Year, when peoples all over the world, of course, historically and mostly in the East, you know, Chinese, Mongolian, Tibetan, Vietnamese, Korean, and on and on and on, they celebrate New Year. And as we know, and if there's any of those right here, any of you who are living in the preface to this Lunar New Year, I just want to remind all the rest of us that this is a celebration of amazing possibilities. I mean, much more than happens in the West, I think. This is a literal, like, week-long, two-week-long rite of passage in which the invitation to total blessing is right there. And so I want to just join with all of us as we together embrace that invitation. Wow. Hey, we're doing cool here. I want to say next thank you to Donna. For those of you who are on the web, you will see wonderful, wonderful photos that she has there. And Donna, are you there? Would you like to say hi to us?
I am here. Yes. And am I hearing? I'm hearing an echo. Is that?
That's just my personality, that's all.
Oh, okay. Well, hello, everyone. And I would just love to join Bill and just wishing you this wonderful day of embracing. And it's a day of embracing every situation in our world right now, embracing those who are less fortunate, those who are really experiencing the weather of the country. It's a day that I look at it as an embracing day. And so as I say hello to you, I would like to embrace all of you. Thanks.
Ooh, got it. Thank you, Donna, so much. hey, it also, what I would love to do next is give all of us the chance that Donna has just had and I've just had, and that is to say hi, to embrace each one of us. If you happen to be on the phone, we get to do that all verbally. If you're on the web, please say hi also in whatever way you would like. Even though we can't verbally hear you, we've got you in our heart. And if you're tuning in later, as many people do, feel free to know that even though the time between now and when you're listening may differ, that really, really doesn't matter, because you're just as much one with us now as anyone else right here. So I am going to push a little button and invite us to say, hi, everybody. Hello.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, Bill.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Whoa, thank you so much. Goosey Bumpies, that is so cool. Hey, are you ready for some really wonderful background music? You know what Jon Stewart says at the beginning of every show on the whatever it is, the Daily Show with Jon Stewart? He says, boy, have we got a good show for you tonight. So it's not really a show. No, it's not. But it's going to be wonderful, I think, because my inspiration for this, usually it starts the day of our time together, but it started a few weeks ago because one of you, who shall go unnamed, I might add, sent me this amazing thing called the Sutra on the Eight Realizations of the Great Beings. Now, isn't that an impressive title? So I thought, well, let me just, I felt moved, inspired to start there and then move from there. So in that little article, actually big article, Thich Nhat Hanh, of course, the great Buddhist leader, just a beautiful, beautiful human being, a great giver to the world, he wrote this commentary on the eight realizations of great beings. In other words, what the great beings of life, like the Buddhas, if you will, have realized. And so he expressed in there 11 sutras. Now, a sutra is a name that probably half of us know well and the other half don't. So I looked it up. A sutra is a Sanskrit word. It comes from a Buddhist tradition, a Hindu tradition, a Jain tradition, a lot of those in the East. And it's like an aphorism. It's like a saying. It's like a kind of a general truth or a short expression of wisdom. It's kind of like an affirmation. It's like a wise, wise saying. Like, for example, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's a sutra. The Ten Commandments, each of those is like a sutra. It takes a big, big, big truth, puts it into just a few or several words, and then puts that out sort of as a guideline to us, if you will, a guiding principle of life. So that's a sutra. So I, in a minute, I want to read to you the 11 sutras, very short, that put together by Thich Nhat Hanh as he reflected on what great beings realize. But before I do that, having told you from such great wisdom that I looked up what a sutra is, I want to make a commentary about great beings. Now, of course, the billboards are filled with the known, K-N-O-W-N, great beings. Again, Buddha, Lao Tzu, those who write these great, great, great pieces of wisdom, Jesus, Abraham, etc., Moses, and many, 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 many more. But there are so many other great beings. And just in the last, I don't know, couple of weeks, I've been feeling like, not in a way of stroking your ego or my ego, but I've just been feeling this enormous gratitude for the great beings who happen to kind of hang out in the space that I hang out in, who happen to gather in the places I go, who come to me and come to each other. And I really want to say, I'm looking at you, all of you, each of you, as great beings. And I think that's the spirit of this evening, is that we're going to shift from these 11 sutras to what I'm going to call 5 sutras for our age, 5 sutras that I feel like would maybe apply to us at this point. So let's start with these 11 sutras that come from, if you will, a few thousand years ago. You ready? Here they are. And if you're counting, we may only get to 9 or 10 because a couple of them are redundant. So here they are. About your body. Oh, first of all, I have to apologize that every one of them has a do not in it. You know, just like the Ten Commandments, they have do not. It's an interesting thing. I think maybe in other ages, do not was a very inspiring thing. It doesn't do much for us today. But anyway, so these are do nots. So about your body, do not hope or pray to be exempt from sickness. Let that one sink in. While in society, do not hope or pray not to have any difficulties. Now, I think you're getting the gist of this. Number three, while in your mind, do not hope or pray not to encounter obstacles. Four, while working, do not hope or pray not to encounter obstacles. Five, when developing a plan, do not hope or pray to achieve success easily. Number six, while interacting with others, do not hope or pray to gain personal profit. And seven, while speaking with others, do not hope or pray not to be disagreed with. Number eight, while helping others, do not hope or pray to be paid. And number 10, skipping there, when wrongly accused, do not attempt to exonerate yourself. And Thich Nhat Hanh's commentary is the 11th one, and he says this: the Buddha spoke of sickness and suffering as effective medicines, oftentimes like a lot of native peoples do. He spoke of times of difficulties and accidents as times for freedom and realization. He spoke of obstacles as liberation, and he goes on to say more. And I think you get the gist of these sutras, of these little pieces of advice, these little guiding principles, even through the do nots. I think what he's really saying is, you know, we don't want to take our desires, our wishes, our will, our prayers, and attach to those our need to have things turn out a certain way. In other words, we don't want to use expectation to set ourselves up for pain, because that not only doesn't get us there, it keeps us locked in a painful place. So I think those were sutras for those days. And those were really, really wonderful for them, and for many people today, they're very, very powerful. But I started thinking, you know, and it's dangerous when you do that, so I started thinking, for the great beings that, let's say, grace our earth in our time, like you, me, us, many others, what would be some modern-day sutras, some modern-day sort of bits of wisdom that we might dangle before our eyes that could reflect a deeper wisdom and maybe support our growth, our opening, our expansion in some ways. So what I did, and I did it today, this afternoon, just a little bit ago, is I just opened up to the inner truth of the great beings I know, which happen to be you. And so I feel like what I'm about to express, which I'm calling five sutras for our age, are what we would invite ourselves to. It's like it comes from a place of our deepest wisdom, if you will, our purest truth. And in that sense, five sutras kind of emerged out of that space, kind of expressions of wisdom, guiding door openers. And I'm about to share them with you. I know you're saying, oh, this is so exciting. Well, actually, to me, it really is. So, again, as always, no matter what I'm saying, it's background music to your listening to your wisdom. You're listening to the truth as it bubbles up within you, as it speaks from within your heart, as it utters expressions from your soul, as it moves you intuitively and instinctively and energetically to a realization and awareness of who you are in the bigger sense. So please take what I'm saying with these five modern sutras, and let yourself sense that, I gave him those so he could dangle them out there so I could speak to myself from the place of my wisdom. And with that, we're ready to go, except I have to apologize once again. In all five of these, I do not have a do not. I know you're sad about that. You really love don'ts in your life. So you just have to get over it. You just have to deal with it. And I think it didn't come up. None of these came up as don'ts or do nots because that doesn't motivate us well. I think, again, they were positive motivators in the past, maybe before we realized that as soon as you say don't to somebody, their subconscious mind immediately wants to do what you're telling them not to do. So here they are. I tell you what, I'm going to say all five of them, and then I just want to talk a little bit about each of them. Number one, love yourself with all your heart and without exception. And with that, I feel like saying Happy Valentine's Day. I'll repeat that. Love yourself with all your heart without exception. Number two, be at peace with every aspect of the world. Be at peace with every aspect of your world. Number three, allow grace to shower its gifts on you and around you every day. Allow grace to shower its gifts on you and around you every day. Number four, take pleasure in everything. Take pleasure in everything. Number five, find and claim your true identity. Find and claim your true identity. And just before I add more descriptive words to any of those, let's all just kind of let those digest. Let them kind of settle in our consciousness, settle in our bodies, settle in our energies, and just kind of have whatever life right now that they might want to have. And just while you do that, I'm going to say each one again just one time. And then I'll get more specific. So just be with these. Be especially receptive. Just be in unity with these. And let your deepest self start to speak in its own way. Love yourself with all your heart, without exception. Be at peace with every aspect of the world. Allow grace to shower its gifts on you and around you every day. Take pleasure in everything. Find and claim your true identity, who you really are. And as those just kind of settle, as they kind of bake in the inner oven, we'll just fine-tune them a little bit. Please, as I talk, feel free to listen to my words if it feels right to do so. Tune them out and listen within if that feels right to do so. So I want to start with the first of these. Again, the first of the five that I feel like we all gave ourselves, and I'm just being the mirror so that we can see what our own souls are inviting us to. Number one, love yourself. Love yourself with all your heart, without exception. As we know, we can find lots of reasons to judge this self, this person, this being that we are, to find fault, to see lacks, to feel deficient, all of that. But I feel like saying the real truth is none of those judgments, fault findings, none of those have any truth. None of them have any basis in the real truth. The real truth, I think, is something like you and I. We're beautiful. We're lovely. We're precious. We're sacred. We're divine. We're delightful. And I might add, we're just perfect. And I know a few times I've read that quote by Thomas Merton about how magnificent each of us is, and sure enough, I'm going to read it again just because I think it says it. And it's when Thomas Merton, I think maybe in the early 1950s, was was in Louisville, Kentucky, and he was watching the people, and all of a sudden he had what he called an epiphany. And he describes it this way: then it was as if I suddenly saw the secret beauty of their hearts, there being all the people he was watching, the depths of their hearts where neither sin nor desire nor self-knowledge can reach, the core of their reality, the person that each one is in the eyes of the divine. If only they could all see themselves as they really are, if only we could see each other that way all the time, there would be no more war, no more hatred, no more cruelty, no more greed. I suppose the big problem would be that we would fall down and worship each other. It's a beautiful quote, and I think it expresses the precise perfection of who we are. Sure, through a three-dimensional dualistic mind, we've learned strongly to judge things as wrong. But if we just look at every aspect of this amazing self you are, look at your body right now. Look at your love-filled heart. Look at your energy, your emotion, your life force. Look at the prana and the chi that you're breathing in and out. Look at your mind. Look at every aspect of who you are. Look at how it all works. And let yourself feel the real truth that you are totally lovable, loved by the divine, loved by creation, loved, honored, supported, celebrated by nature, by everything, but given birth to and sustained in love by the earth itself. So let yourself right now, just briefly, let yourself love. Love that body. No matter whether it's seemingly too fat, too thin, too tall, too small, whether it operates, works with great precision that we call health, or has elements of unhealth, whether it speaks to you in user-friendly ways or whether it's got pain in it. Let yourself see the truth of this body and love this body. Let yourself love those emotions, whether they're up or down, happy or sad, celebrating or depressed, because each one only seems wrong, seems like a lack, because we're not looking at it with the eyes of truth. Love yourself, love your body, love your emotions, love your mind, love every thought, even if it seems like one of those obsessive compulsive thoughts or those self-deprecating thoughts, because, while sure it doesn't leave you feeling good, It's a thought that was generated out of you, and therefore it deserves ultimate respect. And maybe let yourself love the human being that you are, the humanness of you, the humanity of your being, the human part being the part that we sometimes just have a hard time with. We don't quite know what to do with. So if I go back to this sutra, love yourself with all your heart, without exception. In doing that, I think we find the truth of that self. When we dare to love, when we leap into love, when we fall into love with this self, we find our truth, the truth of ourself, the truth of creation, the truth of life, the truth of everything, because everything lives in this self. And just in that gorgeous, wonderful act of love, we lead ourselves into this amazing state of what I want to call romance. And that leads us right to Valentine's Day. And I wish you a happy Valentine's Day. And even in addition to whatever ways you celebrate your love of another person or other people or of life itself, if I go back to this sutra, love yourself with all your heart. This self is waiting to be loved, because your gentle kiss, your magic embrace, your gorgeous reaching out and touching this self, especially as you reach out and touch aspects of the self that you've maybe had a hard time accepting, that in that magic kiss, in that embrace, in that touch, the self that you are comes alive. The self sheds its seeming obstacles, seeming resistances, seeming pain, seeming depletions, seeming lacks. And we start to see and feel the beauty of this self that we are. That's our first sutra for modern day great beings. It's a sutra that if we call ourselves to it, if we let it be a guiding light, a guiding principle, and just let ourselves fall in love, what a beautiful, beautiful self we are. When you're ready, I'm going to talk about the second sutra, which is, be at peace with every aspect of the world. You know, we look out at this world of ours, this human world, this three-dimensional world, this earthly world, and if we look at it through dualistic eyes, you know, we see the things that bother us. We see war and starvation and killings and injustice and you know, as the saying goes, man pitted against man, if you will. And those can be deeply, deeply disturbing. And if that's all we see, and this is some people's, complaint about sort of modern-day television newscasting, is that that tends to be all that's reported. But if that's all we see, we miss how to be at peace with this world. So if we look at the world, maybe let yourself do this now. Look at the world through the eyes of the heart. Through the eyes of the heart. And through that lens, we see beauty. We see loveliness. We see the brightness of the world. We see its Garden of Eden-like nature. We see its possibilities, and we even see that even in the ways that we may be abusing each other, that deep, deep down there's some quest in each person for connection, for love, for bonding, for unity, and we're all trying to love, even if it may look misguided or whatever. But it allows us, when we see that deeply, it allows us to take another step closer to being at peace with this precious world of ours. Then that's the eyes of the heart. If we look at the world through the eyes of the soul, we tend to see it a slightly different way. We see its divinity. Ah, that the world is divine. We see its perfection. We see its wonder. We see its if you will, its miracle nature. And it's like, wow, this world is capable of all sorts of things. We see where grace is infused in and through all of it, and where it's a mighty world, it's an amazing world, it's an awesome world, and we feel toward the human part of it like we do toward the nature part of it, where it's just again, going back to that first sutra, it's just a place that we can fall in love with and be totally at peace with, sort of like being in the eye of that storm, if you will, looking at the world and its happenings, not with judgment, but through those eyes of the heart, those eyes of the soul. So let's allow ourselves, just in this moment, to find that eye of the world storm, to find that inner space or place of peace within ourselves, whether that's in our heart or in our core or wherever it may be, maybe for some of us in our body, for some of us just in our light field, the place where the bigger truth, the real truth of this creation, that this is a place that we not only can feel at peace with, but that calls us to be at peace, quiet peace, silent peace, loving peace. And in that and from that place of peace, we let ourselves treasure this world that we are specializing in this life. That's our second sutra. It's a beautiful sutra. First, G, see, love ourselves. Second, be at peace with every aspect of the world, which moves us to the third sutra, the third affirmation, the third piece of wisdom. Allow grace to shower its gifts on you and around you every day. Allow grace to shower its gifts. Grace, at least I think, I see, I feel, grace is not just that beautiful quality of divine love hanging out there in some pocket of the light field. It's everywhere. It's inside us. It's outside us. It's through all creation. I feel and see grace living in your heart right now. I see it living in your mind. Even though we often blind ourselves to looking at the mind in a certain way and we don't see it. I see grace really living in the bodies of every one of us. Grace is amazing. Grace is I think, what I just said up front. It's that quality of love, infinite love, unconditional love, unbounded love, vast love, focused love, romantic love, deep, committed love that happens to be a part of every bit of creation, so that the creation that you are, I am, was not just created, brought to life in love, as is true, but is maintained in life every day with love, with grace, is brought alive anew every day with love, with grace. So grace is everywhere, and so often we either don't notice it, we don't notice its outpourings, or mostly subconsciously, I think we don't let ourselves take it in. We somehow carry some sense of maybe I don't deserve, and so we just subconsciously just kind of say to the blessing of grace that's there, oh, thanks, but, you know, I don't quite deserve it, or maybe I haven't done all my work yet, you know, because you can't get dessert until after you eat the meal and all of that kind of thing. And so we push it away, not because we don't want it, but because we just don't know how to bring it in. So we're grace, you, I, we are grace, conceived in its love, nurtured by its gifts, surrounded by its might, living in its light, and that grace only knows one thing. It only knows how to shower us with its gifts. It only knows how to bless us. It only knows how to give us exactly what's perfect and right for us. It's built into creation. It's the beautiful thing about being human and about being alive, and not just human, but being a plant and being a fruit on a tree and being the air or prana in the atmosphere or being the clouds in the sky, is that this love is ever, ever, ever pouring itself into us and awakening who we are. And so if we but allow grace to shower its gifts on us, around us, oh, wow, picture how awakened we get. Just like Oprah talking about gratitude. And the more we let ourselves be grateful, the more we show up to what we can be grateful for, then the more we just happen to notice, oh my gosh, there's this to be grateful for, that to be grateful for. The more we notice grace, the more we see that gazillions of times every day we are showered, blessed, bathed in by this amazing thing called grace. So let's maybe, if it feels right, together say yes. Say yes to this grace. Say welcome to its gifts. Say hello to its surprises. Say come to me to its invitations. Let's bathe together in this gift of life, this amazing power of creation called grace. Let's open to not just our deservingness, to be that loved, to be that blessed, to be that embraced, to be that given to be that celebrated. But let's own that right. because, great being that you are, as you allow grace to shower you and shower the space around you and the people around you and the circumstances around you every day, oh my gosh, we start to realize that life itself is grace personified. And in that, in number one, loving yourself, number two, being at peace with this world, number three, allowing grace, oh my gosh, we're stepping more and more into this very great being, this wise, wise being, this awakened self, this capital S higher self, this beautiful self that we are, and stepping into it right here, smack dab in the middle of that Pleasantville that we call Earth. Are you ready for number four? Let's just take a breath here and just let these first three digest in their own way, with none of us trying to do anything heavy-duty with them, not trying to push them, move them, just letting them find their space in us, letting them bless us in their own way. Number four, and I find enormous pleasure in this, take pleasure in everything. Take pleasure in everything. You know, we all hear, it's in the Garden of Eden story, with all the trees that are there, which represent or symbolize all the possibilities, all the potential, all the possible gifts and blessings of life, that we're here to sample all these blessings. We're here to roll in the sweet grass, if you will, of this garden and enjoy its benefits. And we all know that everything in creation, everything, is for our pleasure. But oftentimes that doesn't get much farther than our intellectual, well, yeah, that's interesting, and sure, I guess that's right. But when we, for example, look at the night sky, when we experience a sunrise, when we kind of imagine or image the swish of our planet through space, both around the sun and this whole solar system, including our planet, moving through space, like our Milky Way is moving through space. And then feel the ongoing swish of all of that moving into the expansiveness of the universe and beyond. When we, back here on Earth, just hang out in nature and walk by a tree that seems to speak to us or reach out to us with its blessing, that's pleasure. That's pleasure. And those are the things that we tend often to give ourselves more permission to take pleasure in. But this sutra, this wise, wise saying, expresses this. Take pleasure in everything, whether seemingly positive or negative, whether seemingly pleasant or not. When we, great beings that we are, and I only half apologize for using that term over and over, but we are so much greater, so much bigger, so much vaster than we know. But when we, great beings that we are, open to this truth, the truth that everything in creation and beyond is for our pleasure, our enjoyment, our joy, our fun, Then something strange happens, something beautiful happens. We enter through that realization, we enter into, what can I call it, a special zone. It's a zone of the purest truth of through and beyond creation. The truth that everything, including you and me, is a celebration of creation. And so often I notice what happens within me. I don't try to do it as I'm hanging out with you or somebody, and despite anything we're talking about and in and through everything we're talking about, I find myself just celebrating the you, just taking enormous pleasure in who you are. And I have maybe no rational, three-dimensional mind basis for that. It's just some deeper truth of you links with the deeper truth of me. And, oh, my God, you're beautiful. And you're wonderful. And you're so deserving of my embrace and celebration. And I take immense joy in just having the privilege of spending that time with you. And yes, oftentimes our conversations are about pain, your pain or the pain of life. But if we stay with this truth, that everything is here for us to take pleasure in, and kind of similar to what we did with love, where we look through our rational, dualistic mind to the heart and to the soul, if we look to the heart and soul about creation, even our pain is an expression, a celebration of something getting created within us. Even confusion we might have is a celebration of just the mystery of it all, the what's it all about Alfie part. So no matter what it is, can we, all by yourself and with us together, can we open ourselves to take pleasure, to find the fun, to have the entertainment that it's all about, and to just celebrate the presence, the real, true, wonderful, pleasurable presence of that. When it comes to Valentine's Day, and we think of the person whom we deeply, deeply, deeply love, we celebrate the beauty of that. The beautiful thing about the heart, I think, is that when we really, really love, we become very forgiving of someone's seeming faults. In fact, I think for so many people who have passed through many phases of love, they don't even think in terms of faults. There's even nothing to forgive, if you will, in that person. It's just that I love that person, and all is well, and what a great pleasure that is. If we go to number 5, find and claim your true identity, your true self. Find and claim who you really, really are. And I feel like this, of all the 5, this is our coup d'etat. This is what allows us to take those first 4 sutras and then carry them out, because it's the who we really are that can pick up the ball of those first 4 and this 5th one, and really, really use them not just as guidelines, not just as truths and bits of wisdom, but as true avenues, true pathways, true vehicles to step into that love, that peace, that grace, that pleasure, and we do it by stepping into ourself. So really, who are you? Who are you really right now as you look at that? Look through your heart at who you are, through your soul at who you are, through your mind at who you are, through your awareness at who you are, through your body at who you are. Look through all the vibrational resonances of self, all those intuitive, instinctive ways of knowing about this mighty, mighty self that you are. Who are you? We know what we've been taught. We've been taught that we're human. And yes, we are human, that's absolutely true. But the way we've picked up that belief, I believe, is that we're therefore limited, that we're therefore small, that we're therefore weak, that we're therefore cut off from divinity, from life, from ourselves, from others, and we have to work our way back. And we do that through a journey, a journey of healing, a journey of growth, a journey of awakening, all of which is wonderful, but it's all a pathway to get to the bigger freedom of the capital S self that we truly are. So, wow, this sutra says, woo, find that self. Go wherever you need to go in you. For some of us, it's in the heart. For others of us, it's in the gut. For a lot of people, believe it or not, it's in the body. It's in the fundamental existential core of us. Go wherever we need to go to find that truth. Who are you? In truth, just to put out a possible response to it, who are you? You're everything. You are divine. You are light. You are vastness. You are power. You are love. You are everything and nothing. You are all of that, having a human experience, putting yourself into a human form so that you can find and discover. It's like a giant hunt, if you will, a treasure hunt, so that you can find in this humanness that divinity, that light, that love, that heart, that power, that creative juice, that mighty, mighty, mighty self. And that's why I think, yes, it's wonderful to pursue the light in a way that's transcendent. And yet, I think we also became human so that we as humans would recognize who we are, own who we are, find who we are, claim who we are, be who we are, and as that everything, with that identity clear, then we can be everything else. We can love ourselves with all our heart. We can be at peace with every aspect of the world. We can allow grace to shower its gifts. We can take pleasure in everything because we found who we are. And more we don't have to be on that path toward that end. There's that, and I say this not really to be cute, there's that saying, be yourself, everyone else is taken. It's a beautiful self. I love it. Be yourself, everyone else is taken. But who is this self that you are? In what way are you divine? How does the divine live in you? How does all of life live in you? How does nature live in you? How does the earth live in you? How does light live in you? How does grace live in you? Love, vastness, power, creativity, emptiness. Where is it? How is it? It's all you. And I've come to feel that one of the most powerful things we can do for ourselves is take that giant leap, sort of bet the ranch on that truth of who we are. So to conclude, all of the above, we've come up together with, and I think I just picked them up from all of us, with five sutras for modern-day great beings. Five sutras for ourselves. And that's not a put-down of any of the sutras of other ages. It's not a negative commentary on the Ten Commandments or the Eight Realizations of Buddhism or any other tradition. It's simply saying, how does all that speak to us today? And so if these sutras, these expressions of wisdom, these invitations to approach, if these five speak to us in any way, love yourself with all your heart, be at peace with every aspect of the world, allow grace to shower its gifts all over in and through you, take pleasure in everything, everything, everything without exception, find you who you are, claim you who you are, be that. Dare to be this majestic being that you are, and be it, in every way that you let yourself be it. And with that, every door opens. With that, even though it may take courage to take that leap, it may take bravery to bet that ranch, it may take some deeply rooted bootstrap-like power and belief in yourself to say, I'm going to be who I am, as opposed to being who somebody else is or being smaller than who I am. And again, when we do that, we step into, even if by steps, we step into the most amazing, amazing space. We step into the true space of this planet, of this love, of this peace, of this grace, of this garden that we came to. And sure enough, we experience it like the divine experiences it. And in all of that, we are truly great beings. Oh, my. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Mm. Whew. I am going to invite anybody who would like to share anything to share. If you happen to be on the web, you can share, not verbally, but you can share. I'm still bringing my mind back here. You can share with that little box. You can write in something there. And, oh, my goodness, I've got all sorts of things there. Let me just read those. But I'll say up front, if you happen to be on the phone, you might want to get off the phone and put it by your ear. That was a very bad joke. I apologize. All you need to do is press star 2, and that will show me that you want me to call on you. And while that's happening, we've got a few messages from the web. One from Annabelle from Vienna. Hello, Annabelle. Wonderful to hear from you again. I loved our communication. Is February the month that my dreams will come true? Question mark. Smile. Yes. That's wonderful. And then, oh, my goodness, Adrian from Hawaii, Aloha Land, says, I love you all. Aloha, aloha, come see me. Happy Valentine's Day. And then next writing that she has is a quote from Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. No man has a right to suffer. Isn't that precious? Wow. And then she's got another one from Karuna Mai. Pray only for trust. Oh, Adrian, you are just gifting us enormously. And then her last one, how about dessert first? I'm starting to do this now. Now I know why. Grace is yummy. Oh, I adore that. That is just so precious. Oh, thank you so much, Adrian. And one last one from someone with no name. Actually, I'm sure the person has a name. It's just not here. Thank you, dearest Bill. I'm humbled by your gentle, powerful reminder, quote, to remember, to be it, unquote. I love and attune to your modern-day sutras. I now step with courage. Thank you. Happiest divine Valentine celebration for you and dearest Donna and to everyone else here and to all the world. Wow. Thank you so much. I'm going to call on someone who is in area code 641, and I happen to know that area code. It seems to be somewhere in Iowa, I think. hello. Who might this be?
Hello. Hello.
Yes.
Yeah, this is Ron Hall, Fairfield, Iowa.
Ron Hall, hello. What a delight.
I'm calling to say hi, and thank you so much for being on the planet, Bill.
Oh, Ron, you are wonderful.
And I also want to say that those sutras are profound. And I hope 1,000 years from now, leaders are sitting around with their groups quoting those to them.
that sounds pretty enticing at the moment, Ron. Thank you. That was sweet and also profound. And thank
That's
you
wonderful.
For, for that lesson of us there. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Uh huh. Thank you, Ron. Bye bye. Oh, and if anybody else wants to, hold on a second. Yeah, I'm trying to do my technical thing, and you get the idea of how technically astute I am just from my comments. But if anybody else on the phone would like to say anything, please just let that happen. And I got another message from someone on the web. No name, but it says, grateful to everyone for being on the call to celebrate life together. Thank you so much. I so appreciate that message. And I just want to say it. I say it so often that you probably tire of it, but really thank you. Just your presence, just who you are, great being that you are, just if you never say anything, if you never intend to connect with anybody, just your presence here is this enormous expression of grace. So thank you so very, very, very much. And I think this will be our last chance for anybody who might feel like saying something. Okay, and there's one more from the web. We are web happy here tonight. It says, no name again, thank you, Bill, for answering me. You have taught, shown, and radiated love, light, grace, peace in me, and I will and have expanded on that and want to shine my life and blessings on you. Thank you. My, how totally sweet. You can see how how in a state of awe Donna and I stay. It's so wonderful. And Annie writes beautiful practical words to live by. Thank you, dearest Bill. Okay, I'm going to shift back, and we have no more callers. Let me look at my trusty clock. Let me just take 3 minutes maybe before we work our way around to closing. And if I may, let me just bless us. This will be the equivalent of a blessing. And in this blessing, I feel like I am being all of us giving this blessing. It's, yes, it's my blessing, but it's really our blessing on ourselves and on each other, so that however those five sutras translated within you, whether they came in and registered exactly the same, whether they got shifted and changed in many, many ways, whether they don't even look like those five as they take your form of truth and wisdom, it, whatever that is, this is just our blessing to each other. And please hear all of us saying this to you, me saying this to you, and if it feels right, you saying this to each other. I love you. I love you with all my heart, without exception. I call upon the peace that lives in your core, in your heart, in your depth, to be present in you, to be alive in you, to speak to and within you, to express its inner silence-based love of you, and to be available to you in relation to every bit of the world around you. I, as Grace, give myself to you now, up front, face to face. I, Grace, and you are intimate friends, big buddies, and I commit that just as I always am, but in a way more noticeable now, more alive now, more feelable now, in a way that is totally in devotion to what is perfect and right for you. I open up the pleasure centers of your being, the pleasure centers of your brain, the pleasure wishes and movements and vibrations and resonances of your body, so that you can truly, truly, truly enjoy this Garden of Eden that you so purposely moved yourself into. And I awaken your real, deep, true self, your true identity. I bring to life into your awareness, into your feelings, into your knowing, into your innermost grasp, who you really, really, really are, and the power of that to be alive and to live a life that knows no bounds, that has no self-doubts, and that is so completely, completely beautiful. This blessing is yours. And while this blessing just finds its beautiful space within you, for now, for tonight, for tomorrow, and maybe for the rest of your life, I just want to mention that our next time together is 4 weeks from tonight, Thursday, March the 12th. And in thanking you, I want to really again wish you a really happy Lunar New Year, maybe with these sutras this year. These sutras can contribute to this year being such an amazing year. And again, happy Valentine's Day. May you love yourself, love somebody else, love anybody, love life in a way that is as absolutely unbounded as it was meant to be. And so what I'm going to do is focus my mind on pressing a particular button. and invite us all, on the one hand, to say goodbye to each other, on the other hand, to embrace each other in love, giving each other, through whatever words we say, this gift of peace, and in all of that, just to bless each other. And I am all ready now for us to say a precious goodbye. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you. I love
goodbye.
You.
Goodbye.
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 Love
you.
Thank you.
Love
you.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Woo. Have a beautiful, beautiful February.